hey guys, are you getting the business when you're trying to rehearse with your band? Or people like, hey man, turn it down! Or like, hey, stop playing that same part over and over again. Well, look, if you live in Austin, Texas, I have a solution for you. It's called Space Rehearsal and Recording. Space is a state-of-the-art, affordable venue for rehearsal and recording located just a few short miles south of downtown Austin. With 31 spacious rooms, they've got the space to help you get your stuff done. 512-448-9518 or go to spaceatx.com. Start playing as loud as you want.
And you may ask yourself,
how did I get here? And now here is your host, Johnny Howdy.
All right, hello. I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have a fantastic show for you today. This amazing trio is in the house today. They're called Migrant Kids. And in fact, they are playing tonight in Corpus Christi. Tomorrow night, July 11th, they will be playing at Mellow Fest at the Empire Garage and Control Room in Austin, Texas. Check them out. You can find out all about them if you're not in Corpus or Austin. You can find out all about them at migrantkids.com. They have a new single out called Thread, which was produced by the Bright Light Social Hour. Great band. Fantastic band. Great conversation. Really sweet dudes. Very conscious dudes, which I enjoyed talking to guys that were in the moment and very conscious. So stay tuned for that. We will get to that in just a minute. Let me tell you what's going on with me. I'm off from Skyrocket this weekend, although I am going to Orlando with them on Monday to play a corporate show. I have to go to the dentist. I have a tooth that's got to come out, and they said, well, we can do an implant. So I have to have the tooth pulled, and I have to have an implant thing put in today. While you're listening to this, that's where I am. I'm at the dentist. Having that done, probably freaking out. Maybe listening to some music, some soothing music. I need to get some soothing music. Maybe put together a soothing playlist. I wonder how long it takes to do that. It feels like it takes like 18 hours or something, right? In my mind, that's what it's going to take. Okay, maybe you should come in at this time, and then we'll release you. And I got to have someone pick me up, because I'm going to be so messed up afterwards that I'm going to have to be driven. That freaks me out a little bit. What are these people going to do to my face? I don't know, man. I'm a little stressed out about it. I am. I'm a little stressed out about it. I'm a little nervous. I get a little nervous. I don't like that kind of procedure. Who wants that kind of procedure in their face with the drilling thing? And then I guess what they do is they put a screw thing inside your jaw. I'm going to be missing a tooth until I get the regular guy in, because they can't do it right. Because I thought like, oh, so you just put the thing in right away. They're like, no, got to wait a little while, buddy. Got to make sure that heals. I'm like, oh, great. So I'm going to be that guy. That's all right. You know, maybe I'll stuff it with a piece of gum. Can you do that? I'm sure my dentist is going to love that. Why is there gum all in your screwy guy thing? What do they do? I don't even know what they do. Maybe I should stay awake through the thing and ask them periodically. Hey, how was it going? I don't know. I'm scared. I'm nervous. If any of you guys have had that done, go to the How Did I Get Here Facebook page. You'll be able to relate to me and give me some words of encouragement. Cause see, yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm gonna need some backup there, guys. Look out. I'm feeling scared. I am feeling scared. I don't wanna go in. I don't wanna go do this. I don't wanna go to the dentist. You know what I do wanna do is I wanna talk to Migrant Kids. What a great band. I think you're gonna really enjoy them. You can find out all about them at migrantkids.com. They are in fact playing tonight, July 10th in Corpus Christi, tomorrow night in Austin, Texas, July 11th. At Mellow Fest at the Empire Garage and Control Room. Get out there and find out. If you live in Austin, get out there and check them out. If you don't, check out their single Thread produced by the Bright Light Social Hour, and they have a self-titled album called Migrant Kids, which is also out there. Very, very good album. You're going to hear Thread right now as we get into the conversation. So without further ado, here are my new friends, Migrant Kids, and I having a great conversation. And I hope you all have a great, great weekend, all right? Have a great weekend. Remember, I'm at the dentist. All right. Let's get down. That's what happens when Latin dudes get together. They all of a sudden, like, they start, like, their racism is like, man, can you believe that Irish guy? You know, Irish get.
Well, I'm Irish.
You are Irish. Oh, man, you're outnumbered. You're outnumbered. Where are you from?
I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good town.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah.
What, I was in a band that had our, that's where Miami is.
Miami, Ohio?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where.
It's like 30 minutes, like, northeast or right. Northwest, sort of. Yeah, from Cincinnati.
That's where Woxie was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was a great radio station. That was like one of the great American radio stations. Yep. Is that what you listened to when you lived there?
When I was young, really young. Yeah.
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 Okay.
But, and then I think it was just completely taken off the air and became internet.
It became entirely. An internet. And it's here now. It's based out of here, the internet radio station.
Really?
Yes.
We can talk about that. Yeah.
That's, I think I'm right.
No, I mean, I didn't know. I just
don't come on my show and chat.
No. I want information about it from you. Okay. I wasn't.
That became Woxie.com. So, you guys just put out a single a little while back, right?
Mm.
A few weeks.
April.
Okay, yeah. A couple months.
Feels like a few weeks.
End of April. Yeah.
End of April. And this song Thread was produced by Bright Light Social Hour, who you just did a tour with.
Right.
And you were telling me earlier that you did it at the drummer. Is that what you said? No, he mixed it.
Yeah, I mean, they all had their hands in it. It was Jack and Curtis really helped with a lot of, like, the guiding the actual recording and, you know, helping a lot. Jack, of course, is rhythm master, so he's bass player, so he knew when it sounded, you know, when it sounded like it was really sitting right, and
right.
Curtis was really, really helpful with the vocals and just kind of helping us get vocal takes, you know, what sounded good, what didn't. And then Joe, who's the drummer, he came in at the end and just, he's a very silent guy, kind of sits in the back and doesn't really say much until the very end, and then all of a sudden he'll come in and just kind of rip you a new one or, you know, arranges things. And
yeah. All of them have very, very developed ears.
Yeah.
And yeah,
it's very helpful.
It's interesting that a whole, I mean, I know artists produce people. I've produced people, like, as a, you know, obviously someone hears your record and is like, oh, come on, let's do a thing. But it's interesting that a whole band produced you guys.
Yeah, I mean, on all aspects, too, really.
That's true.
Yeah.
They're all really there. Self-sufficient. I think they engineered and recorded their own, the album they just put out, Space Is Still the Place, so it's just, they spent 4 years mastering that stuff, I think, and getting to know how to do what. You know?
Yeah. You spend the time, you sit in a room long enough, you come out with, like, good sounding stuff, hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, they treat it like grad school. They really are. They're round the clock studying and soldering, and when we were there, I mean, putting together stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe's a little wizard. He'll build preamps, and he builds a lot of the stuff they use and just makes copies of, like, old, great, sought-after vintage gear that's on, like, Beatles records and stuff like that.
Wow.
So when I first went there, I mean, it was just soldering station at the kitchen table, and Joe's just sitting there, like, making stuff. I mean, he engineered a lot of it. Curtis and Joe engineered quite a bit of it. And then Joe mixed it. But
so who did your record, the Migrant Kids record?
Eric Wofford.
Oh, yeah. Geez, that guy's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We learned a lot. He was our first teacher.
Yeah. So what was the difference? I mean, obviously there's got to be some kind of difference. I don't mean, like, good or bad. I just mean, like, the difference between a band that plays together in the studio, and then a dude that is a guy like Eric plays though, right? He's in some bands.
Yeah, some stuff. Yeah.
Has it Candy and the Strangers?
Yeah, Candy and the Strangers. Yeah. That's my friend John and Samantha's band. Yeah. Those guys are great. What happened? Are they still playing?
Yeah, you know, I actually just talked to him, and he said they were starting to practice and do stuff again.
So, yeah. So the fundamental differences.
Well, we it was really cool because when we came to Austin, there was a lot of burgeoning, like, just great bands. I think Black Angels were, that was like one of the biggest. I think the garage rock movement was starting to really, really happen here. That's like 60s psych garage rock, and the Reverberation Appreciation Society was just, it was kind of like the underground thing coming up. And so I ended up discovering that stuff in like early hours of the morning when I couldn't sleep and was looking online. And then I heard the Black Angels and I heard that Passover album and I was just blown away. Yeah. And it sounded like Zeppelin and these huge cannon like drums.
Yeah.
So I was just like, who is that? I want that guy, that studio. And we found him and within days had him on the phone and then met up with him and toured. And I think that was it. Like, he knew his room and he knew how to get those sounds really well. And we're learning that with producers, with studios. They tend to have like their, not a bag of tricks, but like, you know,
their bag of tricks.
What they're good at. Yeah. Yeah. You go to one guy because he's great at this, and that's why you go there. We wanted huge, I think, really big drums and like a big epic sound. And we like he said, he heard Passover, and we wanted a lot of those kind of sounds, and he nailed it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Brian, you're from Ohio. Where are you from, Miguel?
My cousin and I, John, are from Michigan originally.
Are you guys first cousins?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's awesome.
We're all Midwestern boys.
From Michigan. But I thought that your family were migrant workers.
They were.
In Texas.
They were. Okay. So John's mom and my dad were born in Texas, and they would... migrant workers in Texas need to go back and forth between Traverse City, Michigan,
okay,
and then Texas. Cherries in Traverse City, and then cotton and beans down here.
Wow.
Yeah. And they just ended up...
They ended up staying in Michigan.
We don't know why, because of the weather. But that's where they stayed. So
your dad ended up getting a degree and a master's?
He did.
And stuff?
Yeah,
I was telling you earlier. You're anybody that's listening should go look you guys up on YouTube. You got to see that City Hall performance and speech. That was just beautiful and really inspiring. And it was nice. It added. It's funny because I read all the stuff about you guys, and I'm listening to your music, and I'm watching the live shows and stuff. And then all of a sudden, I saw that, and I got who you were. You know, I had no idea who you were otherwise. But when I did, I was like, oh fuck, these guys are real. You know, like, you know, from a real place, and you come from a real place, and you honor that place.
Yeah,
some people try and run away and pretend that kind of shit never happened, you know. What I mean,
that was a really big day for us. I think moving to Austin and, you know, hours churning out hours spent for the album, and, you know, even before we all arrived in Austin, we had spent hours in other projects and
years and
I don't know. I think it's family's always been important to all of us, and it really does feel right to always be thinking about those opportunities that our parents gave us, especially coming from so little, and just being able to do it. I mean, we still think about it to a point where we still mention it at shows, and
they were your band.
Yeah,
is that you know what I mean? You're never going to forget that now.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's important to us.
It just, I think it comes down to like the, I think that whole, you know, Austin City Hall day, you know, I think it means, you know, I think it means different things to different people. It meant a lot. I think it meant more to us just because.
It seemed like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think having our parents be here, and they lived in a real different Texas, the way they describe it. So it's kind of cool to be like, you know, we're really welcome here now.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. I mean, on a lot of different levels. Yeah.
Right.
On the fact that you're not from this country, and they never probably thought that someone that they would see living would get like a right. day
for sure.
named after them just because they're in a cool band.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Hey, let me tell you something about the day. When did you get it?
That was...
Is it like September 13th?
September yeah.
This past 26? September
26th? It was 2013.
Oh, okay. So you know the truth about the whole thing. Every September 26th is not.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I found out, and I was yeah. really sad. Like, yeah. the next year, I was gearing up for it.
Yeah.
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 We
don't tell people that.
We had sparklers
we
did, ready.
We didn't put it out that way. No, it's every year. It's every year.
It's totally
we were out,
every
we
year.
Showed up with their instruments,
yeah. and we're yeah, like, yeah, oh, yeah, we were ready to go. Yeah.
So tell me what was going on in Michigan. You said you were doing other stuff and other bands. Were you guys in school? What was the...
Yeah, Brian
I wasn't in Michigan.
He was just south of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, we...
They played in...
We grew up... Miguel and I grew up together playing music in the church, especially, and he moved out to Arizona, and I followed him to start the band, and then... Went back to Michigan for a little bit, moved to New York, and then went back to Michigan for about 4 years to try to have a really strong go at playing music.
Did you go to New York to play?
Yeah, we lived there. Yeah, oh, okay. We lived there for a bit.
We went there with the intent to play, and then we realized you're just how long struggling did you last? To.
Yeah.
That's exactly what, it's with New York. It's how long do you last? Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, I have a friend that's on his 10th year there.
That's amazing.
I'm still
he made
like,
it.
I can't believe you're it. Not on your way.
He made it. Yeah. 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 You're just surviving. Yeah.
He works about, without exaggeration, he works three jobs. It covers, you know, not all three of them 7 days a week, but yeah. he works 7 days a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's
you work to survive.
That's what you realize.
Yeah.
And you're just, yeah, you're working to survive, and you are going to carry your amps, you know, up
yeah,
five or six blocks to get on a subway.
Then it always rains when you have rehearsals, too. It's
yeah.
weird.
Yeah.
But it worked out. We lived in Queens, in Astoria, for about a year, and then moved back to Michigan. And
did really... you get to play at all when you were there?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we played some really beautiful shows. Our best show there was... We got to be a part of this show that was at
it's
Merkin.
Really pretty musical.
Yeah, it's called Merkin Hall by Juilliard and
on a Steinway made there.
Yeah,
in Queens.
It was like a sold out show.
Oh, and, awesome!
It was definitely a very memorable show. But then the next day we played at a dive bar to just my mom and my sister.
Yeah,
Mama made it.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And my mom was like falling asleep while we were playing. Yeah.
And of course, she missed the one before. It was like 3 a.m.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They were closing the blinds, those metal grates.
Yeah, you know.
Before we even got on stage,
our mom and sister notoriously have just always seen the shit shows like right after these amazing shows. You know,
we swear people come out to see.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah.
That happened to me with my grandpa before he passed away. I think the last 2 years he came out to this thing in Houston that my band would play where there was a lot of people. So thank God because I would. My cousins would come and be like, oh, no, we went. We saw him at the place where the Astros play. He was playing there. My grandpa would be like, oh, he's not playing there. And, don't look at ningún lado on the door. Donde juegan los Astros, por favor.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, no, I do. Come on down and see this thing. And it's like just some sad restaurant acoustic gig where you can't even hear
oh,
you
no.
and nobody cares. It's like, you're doing great.
Yeah.
So what brought you guys to Austin?
Well, like I said, we were in Michigan and we had a band called Manolete, so after a Spanish bullfighter, and we basically spent 5 years writing an album and then recording it and then the band breaking up. And then Miguel and I were a bit disillusioned.
Detroit's tough. It's a
yeah.
tough place to play.
Detroit?
So,
yeah. It's a tough place to live than to play. I mean, it's you're fighting snowstorms and like people are really... you know, you're kind of out for yourself.
Yeah.
It's tough.
But we just figured music was just something we weren't going to let go of, and we figured better to continue the process and creativity and keep moving along in a place where there aren't snowstorms, you know?
Yeah.
It's just a lot better
yeah.
emotionally and for your life to be healthier. And so we decided to come to Austin and... We thought about moving here before, moving to New York, but that was like 2005 we mm-hmm. thought about coming here
mm-hmm.
And picked New York instead. And then
Glad you did.
Yeah, ended up coming back
here. Yeah.
So. Yeah.
I'm glad the timing happened the way it did.
Yeah. So let's I have this written down because I noticed, I mean, obviously you, Brian, have a lot of stuff that you have to do along with playing the drums.
Uh-huh.
There's a whole job to your left, it looked like.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
But also, John, you were playing, you were pushing something that looked was playing like synth chords or something.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah, it's MPC.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen those. I've never used one.
Yeah, they're nice. They're really meant for just drum beats. And Miguel and I actually play it a good deal throughout the set, but we figured we could, you know, instead of lugging around a synth, you know, sample chords and stuff, and we slam all that stuff to like 80 Sony cassette tape to like get this beautiful sound. And then when you put it to the MPC, it's 16-bit. So when it comes out, it's like even just warmer and creamier.
Yeah.
So it gets a beautiful thick sound, and same with his Roland sampler. But, you know, it's all on this like nice compact thing that we could
plug. Yeah.
Well, we have like enough amps for like a 5-piece basically.
Yeah. Well, do you have to take a bass rig?
Yeah.
Usually, yeah. Mm. Yeah, cuz we're playing acoustic bass and then synth bass.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Brian definitely carries, I think, the brunt of the sampling.
Wait, do you have to play bass pedals?
No,
play drums.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. I haven't used they have an output or an input 4-foot pedals, but I haven't. I just
like the Taurus scene.
I'm just trying to like get it together using my left arm at this point. But before they started playing, like before, you know, we bought an electric bass and they started switching on and off with it, 100% of our show, the bass was coming out of the sampler that I used. So it was all like synth, like droney kind of bass. And I triggered pretty much almost 100% of it. And that was like, I mean, it's,
it was already programmed to play the notes.
The notes the there, yeah. Each pad is assigned to a note.
Oh, but you're actually playing the bass line with your hand.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not. It's not like an intricate electric bass line, you know. But it's
no.
It definitely takes a little bit away from what I'd like to do on the kit, you know. So yeah. At first, well, because we talked about the album, you know, that we did with Eric Wofford,
right?
And we got this big expansive kind of sound, and it's like, well, there's just three of us, how are we gonna do this? And
so there was some, that's so cool, though.
So that was the first step. Well, I'll get a percussive sampler and we'll put synths and stuff in it and try to like,
and
so
in the we meantime, just started we'll try to find a bass player, which we never did,
right?
So we are the
so
where we are now.
Well, the other thing too is like, if there's a great dynamic and you guys can do what you do and function as three people stuck together in this thing,
that's what we've kind of
throwing
decided
another
on.
Personality in there might fuck everything up. Probably like it just might be like the destructive force in your beautiful little.
And we've kind of realized, like talking with Sphinx or Holly Mountain or Bright Light, it's like the core of the band is three people, you know, and it just seems to be like a magic number in a way. I think it was Jack from Bright Light who said that, you know, you can't have any factions because it's either going to be two against one. There are no sides, you know, two against two. So it's easier for decisions.
Yeah.
And we've for sure have had that happen to us where it's like, well, two against one.
Yeah. I can't do it. You just kind of got to swallow your pride sometimes. Yeah. But when it's two against two, you know.
Do you ever get familied out? Like, you're like, I'm not going to tell this guy this thing because he's just going to tell John, and John's going to tell me to go fuck myself.
Well, I mean, I can tell when he's watching his fight. I think it's more like he just kind of bows out and like, oh, I'll just
that's the one you gotta look out for.
I mean, it definitely feels like a family, the three of us, you know. So,
and you feel like a cousin as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, around their parents and their family, it's just they're so warm and welcoming. So like, I definitely don't feel at all at this point like I'm on the outside looking in.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
My mother's always praying for Brian.
Oh, see?
Yeah.
There's
a lot of prayers Brian has sent. Because he's a sinner.
I'm a sinner. I'm a goddamn sinner.
No, when they start praying for you, you're doing good. Oh, that means you're in.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, of course.
It's good.
So, okay, so what else is on the sampler? You're playing the bass, and that's it?
And, you know, when it's No, I mean, when one of them's playing electric bass and the other one's playing guitar, and we want, like, just more upper to mid registry synth stuff.
Yeah.
I'll trigger that kind of stuff. So lately it's become a lot more of that than synth bass, because the newer material we're working on, I'd say 90% of it, we're using the electric bass. Mm. So I don't have to use the synth bass, and we can free up those pads for other textures and sounds, arps and synths and all kinds of stuff. So, but we have really yet to use it for what it was kind of created for, which is percussion.
You know, like, yeah, well, same with the MPC.
Yeah, I mean, they're both machine. Percussive samplers, but we put these other.
But that's so cool. That's what Brian Eno would do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Throw away the manual.
Yeah.
And then just you have your own thing that
right. You
don't know how to use, but you'll figure it out.
The problem with the MPC is, you know, it's a little bit older of a technology than the SPDSX that I use, and it doesn't have a lot of memory.
Yeah.
So.
We got the upgrade. It's 128 megabytes.
Yeah, but
megabytes.
Mine has like quite a few gigs, so I'm able to put a lot more stuff in. I don't have to clean it out as often, but like theirs is kind of limited because it's used to having these half a second samples of like a kick drum or a snare drum or something.
Do you guys have your whole? I know this is weird and logistical, but these are questions when I have. I used to have this thing like when the first time I saw Polyphonic Spree. Mm-hmm. Same thing happened when I saw Mother Falcon too. Like I just couldn't watch them and enjoy it because I was like, how do they all get to rehearsal on time?
I thought that the other night we were watching.
How does this work?
That's like the curse of a musician. You can't enjoy any music anymore because you're always thinking about. Yeah. You're always thinking about like, how are they doing that? And then you get pissed because it sounds so good.
Yeah. How did I do it? Yeah. That guy's terrible normally.
How does that many people get on the same page and show up to rehearsal and like, I mean, they must be super blessed. Like, I don't understand because the three of like adding a fourth person.
I had them on here and I asked all those questions so much. I think that's all I asked the guy. Like, I was just like, how does this work? And who's the jerk?
You kept going back to it.
Yeah. They have a very good, texting thing, and there's like a couple of bands involved.
So I
wanted to know about the logistical things, because like how, like when you're doing a South by Southwest like throw and go show, is there like a nightmare where you might have to cut a song because of all the stuff that you have to set up when you don't have a sound check and stuff?
We've cut songs plenty of times.
For sure.
Because we got started late because we have our setup is a lot to do for three people. So, like, you know.
It was actually kind of funny that we played a Güero show. Güero's on.
Oh, yeah.
And we got there and we have a couple Roland amps and, like, a bass rig and, you know, MPC. And the guy that was, like, helping us unload, he's like, man, he's like, no one just ever can play rock and roll no more with just a bass and guitar. And
he's all the man.
Are you doing one of those Sun 100 shows or whatever?
No, I'm
the radio shows?
It was like an international showcase.
Oh, okay.
And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, I don't know.
Was he the sound guy?
Not the sound guy. Oh. He's, like, helping us load in, but because it's a lot of stuff for a three-piece, you know.
I like to watch people do it, but you know, tonight is my first foray in playing in a band that uses tracks. Like there's organs and shit and all this kind of stuff, and I don't trust technology enough to put my show in. I mean, because that's my obviously my next question is going to be like, has that happened and what happens when that happens?
Well,
what if you're both playing guitar and the thing goes out and you're playing drums and there's no bass? Do you guys just start jamming?
We kind of, I think we've learned, to start touring, it doesn't feel like a show unless that happens now. Now that we've toured enough, if everything goes right, I'm like, oh shit, the band's we're going to crash on the way home, or something's going to go wrong.
Yeah.
You want someone to like throw snowballs at you, or like some sort of, there's got to be some twist to a show, otherwise it's not a show, and then it's a bad omen, I feel like, so we're learning, and the better bands we play with, you watch them use the definition of a successful show is now not that you played how well you played, it's how well you recovered from the mistakes and the like technical. There's always a technical difficulty, and you look forward to it now. I think we just because then that's when the brain starts working. You feel like you're working for it. You know, you're like, wow. So this dropped out. What are we gonna do now? You know, you just it's that weird sadistic. You're pissed off, but it is exciting.
We've tried our best to minimize those things happening, and we used
sort of
to
the
use
impact
a,
of what happens when it goes out.
And we used to use a computer, which
we
a lot
did
of
for
fans do.
Actually we did for one show,
just one,
and it went out.
We knew, that
it was our first show.
And it just like cut out, you know. But like that's why you, if you get dedicated gear that's meant for that kind of thing, then it's probably akin to like an amp tube burning out. You know that it would. Not work, but because that's what they're meant for. But like, you get a computer that's not dedicated for that. Usually, it's just someone in the band's like personal computer that they watch porn on. You know, then it's got all this virus shit and it's gonna cut out. You know,
I use I'm in this band Skyrocket, and I use Mainstage for all my keyboard sounds, and I have a separate computer. I don't even look at email.
All
nothing
the best
on it. I just
DJs,
use it for that.
DJs that use computers, it's only for that. It's the only thing they have on it. It's Ableton. So.
Yeah, do you have you guys ever used any of that stuff? And well, is that what you were using when you used the computer?
We ran a Pro Tool session, the old space bar.
We knew that that wasn't gonna work, though. I don't think that was ever. I think we kind of always known.
I saw it happen the other day at the Solstice Festival.
Oh really?
Yeah, saw it happen to a band.
Just went out like the whole track.
Yeah.
How did they recover?
They did. They did. They're still there.
They went off.
They're still fighting about it.
No, it's a friend of mine's band, and I think it was a PA thing went out. But like, it was a festival. There was a lot of people. They were getting into it, and it was the first song, like three quarters of the way through.
Damn.
And they kind of kept it going for a little while, but it was just kind of like guitar and drums you could hear.
Yeah.
And then they just took off from the stage, and then came back like a few minutes later.
Really?
Yeah.
Dang,
man,
that's an interesting move.
Well, there was nothing they could do.
Yeah.
And I could see them feeling kind of naked out there.
Yeah.
And just, you know.
Well, then again, like trying to minimize like full backtracks for sure. Like a lot of it is more just samples, so we have free.
We almost don't use any tracks. Yeah. I think just because of exactly that. We've had, I think, in our first show, in our first 3 months of playing, we probably used a couple tracks, and then inevitably they always went out, failed, ducked out, and the mix was off. So that happens enough with acoustic stuff, you know, like you get a weird mix and you get a weird that stuff's kind of
When you don't do it like me, I just have like this, the longer I go without doing it, the more fear I have of it.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it becomes more complex, and I still don't even know where to start thinking about it, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's always been frightening to me, but if you can, I guess, if you're just using the electronics, essentially you're just using kind of synthesizers.
That's
essentially.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We treat them like that in our approach, even down to, like, the sampling. I always tell the guys, as a singer, you take a breath before you sing, right? So I said, let's capture that breath before the sing. So it's funny because I'm always getting on them about cutting the sample so that there's a space before, a silence.
That is so weird that you said that, because on the song that I saw you doing that on, I actually noticed that.
That's awesome.
For theirs it works. For me, like, if it's...
He hates it.
I'm playing drums. Like, you can't realistically do that. Like, I can't be triggering like a 30-second note with my left hand when my right hand's playing a quarter note every phrase, you know. It's like I'm not Vinny Caliuta, and like that's just well beyond the realm of what I'm capable of. So.
I like the Vinny Caliuta reference a lot.
Well, he's great. Yeah. He could do that.
You never know. One never knows.
Yeah.
So so you guys are gonna do another tour with the Bright Light Social Hour this fall? Is that right?
No. This one is our... They kind of pushed us out of the nest, I think, so to speak. So, it's... I mean, the route that we did with them, we're now going back to play that.
Oh, again. Okay.
Yeah.
On your own.
On our own.
That's good.
Yeah.
Do you guys have a booking agent?
We do. Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yep. Yeah.
Are they located somewhere else?
They're between Brooklyn and Austin. So kind of the two.
Oh, okay.
I was like, places. Yeah.
Like Nashville?
They're like right in the middle. Everything's done satellite, I feel like. So it's just, that's a good thing.
It is funny. Yeah. And you have management? Are you guys? Yeah.
We work with a label, and then it's kind of all inclusive in-house stuff. So
what is the label?
Pure Joy Records.
Okay. Is that where's that? Out of,
that's the one that's based
out of New York and Austin. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do they have Bright Light Social Hour as well?
No. Mm-hmm. They're on a different one.
Okay.
Yeah, Bright Light's on French Kiss,
which is that's a good name for a label.
Yeah. It's awesome. Awesome
label. So do you guys have label mates that you tour with as well? Are there other, is there?
No, more or less with like the market where they're sending us to, it's a lot of a lot more of just they're contacting venues, setting up shows, and then we establish relationships with a lot of the bands there. So
yeah, trying to gain local support where we're going and make sure the guarantees are good enough to to keep pushing through it. But it's been really helpful.
That's good.
To have it.
Yeah.
So. And you guys all seem like clear people. Like it's not, it's when you go on the road, you know why you're there. There's not like a guy that you lose and have to.
Yeah.
For the most part. Yeah. We're all pretty in sync, I think.
Yeah. Do you guys have girlfriends or anything?
Sort of.
Okay. I do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that sort of thing got a friend of mine in a ton of trouble one time on this show.
He has a dog.
He's
now.
Like, that was Miguel, by the way.
Yeah, Miguel, why'd you say that?
Miguel, do you have a girlfriend, Joe?
Yep.
Yeah? What does she do?
She's actually a freelance editor, and she was working at a publishing agency in New York for a while.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, she has her hand in that, like,
literary world.
Yeah. It's crazy. So, she does...
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And she likes Austin a lot, but misses New York, you know? And it was nice. We got to all visit together with her, and she's showing us around. And
oh, it was great.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
I've never been in New York.
Really?
Yeah, this was a month ago, and I was just like, I don't want to leave.
Played there? Yeah, you played there with...
No.
We didn't play there.
No, we
weren't. This was when we lived there, we played
there.
Okay. Yeah. But this was like a purely like... We had played like 30 shows between South By and...
End of April.
So we're just like, let's go hang out for a little bit.
It was cool. Our first night... We got Brian and I got to go to my buddy. He plays in this band called Yesayer. Mm-hmm. And we got to go to his house in Brooklyn and listen to the new album and with him about their process. And they're at that level where they're, you know, world touring, and they send their, what was it, 6 producers that we got to hear their different.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they sent for like a. To see who they wanted to mix their record, they sent it to like 7 or 8 mix engineers, and we got to go through and the spec mix, just to see who they picked. And
who were the spec? Were they big guys?
Yeah. Produced by Alabama Shakes, the mixing guy from.
I'm just trying to find out who's working on spec now. That's insane. Yeah, right. Well, I mean, they got to. They've got to. Like Tim Palmer, you guys know that guy?
Yeah, we just met him about a month ago with this. Awesome.
Yeah, we actually sent him the song Thread after it was done. We're like, hey Tim,
you have that 80s thing down.
Yeah.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. but he did give us some advice. He's like, you know, I would have come in with the chorus like 2 bars sooner. Yeah. We're just like, all right, cool. So it's pretty nice.
Which is what we used to do, but we took it out.
Yeah.
Took that vocal
That's
thing
funny.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's awesome. With the we're in sort of the running for the Black Fret grant.
And, right, you're one of the nominees.
Yeah,
and so, that's where we met him at this, like...
It's been incredibly...
Mixing.
Yeah, incredibly helpful to, like,
that's a great thing
like
to... Yeah, just a lot of mentor guys there, people you can reach out to.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Absolutely incredible, yeah.
They're
amazing
people to have, like... Even just what we've learned so far and the shows they curate, it's, like... That, by far, is a phenomenon. Every Mother Falcon's in that with us. And, I mean, every group is just knockout.
Yeah.
I think ever since moving to Austin, I was telling you earlier, we've had a great amount of support from bands. But as far as feeling supported, like from Austin, the scene, I think up until getting involved with Black Fret, I don't think, at least personally, I hadn't felt like such a great support for people who believe in music as a craft and an art.
True.
So it's
feel like there's a thing here that I don't know what New York seems more real too, but like in LA it's like, what have you got going on? Like, someone doesn't even need to hear your music. But here, like, there is a lot of emphasis on being good.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Like, we look at each other not as like, you know, I mean, sure, you'll get proud of a band that's doing really well, but that's not usually what you tell people. When you go like, oh, this band, man, they're fucking amazing. You should see them, you know? Yeah. Some, there's only four people there, but they're like the greatest thing I've ever seen. Where like in LA, the vibe is more like, oh yeah, man, they totally have a thing with Warner Brothers now, and Dave's looking at them.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Publishing deal. Yeah.
It's just like, I like that a lot more.
That's very true, I think.
Yeah. It is. And I feel like now the world is small enough, we don't necessarily have to live on either coast. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can do well. I mean, I think the Black Angels do. I mean, fuck, they were like on Letterman and like,
yeah,
you know, they're constantly on tour. They're doing really well. They've created their own.
Yeah. It's their
thing.
It's definitely their.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we kind of just are like, with the opportunities we're given, it's like, how far can we take the opportunities and really absorb and make them our own to get to that level?
Right.
So.
But what is the process? Like, how do you make music? Like, does one guy write a song, or does it come out of a jam? Or?
A lot. I mean, it's pretty much equally collaborative up until the very end. I mean, you know, usually I'll have an idea or something, and then Miguel will work on production values, and Brian comes in with the beats. And then at that point, it's like swirling in all of our heads. And then we're all like, okay, let's try this, or let's try this approach. But we're getting to the point now where we're writing the new album, trying to take on different approaches and doing things a lot quicker. And, just, I don't know. I mean, just demoing a lot faster and things like that.
That's great. How do you guys demo? Do you guys have like a space like this, like a studio space in a room?
Yeah, we have a room up north a little bit, like this warehouse kind of place. And you know, they have a Pro Tools rig at home. I have electronic drums and a Pro Tools rig at home, and you know, so you sometimes
can send tracks and
they'll send me stuff, and like they'll demo out beats on what's the drum machine thing. That's just a little boom. Like, here's the idea for this, and you know, I'll try to make it my own thing, and then we'll get together and just kind of hash stuff out. And maybe, and Miguel's notorious for just kind of saying, all right, stop now. Let's play the same song, but play it completely differently. Yeah. Like, and then we'll
That's
get,
good.
Yeah. And it's, it's great. And we've gotten pretty good at doing that. And I know it took me a while, but
learning covers too has been really helpful for this new creative process.
Oh yeah, so what song did we learn?
We started working on.
So our first cover we did as a band was Thriller.
Thriller, Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah. That's a pretty big. Dude, that's a kind of a vast jam. That's a big thing.
Yes.
Who did the the funk of 40,000 years?
We didn't do it. Okay. We didn't do it.
We were gonna have Brian do.
Yeah,
he's got enough on his plate.
It's not worth having him set up a mic for me to say some stupid shit. Yeah.
But now we do a Prince cover, I Would Die For You.
Oh, yeah.
And we're working on War Pigs right now.
Yeah. Wow, these are all great songs.
Killing Me Softly,
yeah.
Another great song.
Yeah. Wow. And maybe Wake Up by Arcade Fire, maybe.
Maybe.
We just really wanted.
I thought you were going to say Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go.
By way. Yeah.
That is some outside shit.
That's very crazy.
I really want to do Shout, but, you know.
Tears for Fears.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot of,
you know,
synthy stuff.
I'm in a cover band. We play 70s and 80s super hits, and we all sing and do all this stuff, and you know, bring in songs and stuff. And I do Head Over Heels.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And then I thought, like, oh, I want to do Shout, and like, I whatever, it's fucking three chords, and so I went in to bring it in, and we sat down and listened to it as a band. It's real long.
Yeah.
You don't realize how long it is till you sit down to actually start playing. You're like, this thing just keeps on going over and over again.
It's like six plus minutes, right?
Yeah.
And Warpix is like 7.5.
Yeah, but that's Sabbath. I mean, A Tears for Fear is an amazing band, but give me a 3-minute pop song, guys.
Yeah. That's true.
I don't want to hear their 6-minute jams. Right. Maybe I do. I shouldn't say that.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Did you guys play it?
Nope. No, just listening to it. There's another song like that I brought in one time that was real exciting. And when we started playing it, we got like halfway through it. And we were like, Jesus, it should just be done.
Yeah.
And it was that Adamant song, Goody Two Shoes.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like it's awesome. Sure. Well, plus also we didn't have a real horn section. We had a dude playing it on synth. Yeah. And so just some synth line going over and over again with this like digital horns is just wasn't happening.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's I mean, even like what you said, it kind of seems like it's awesome in a way. And when you break down, like breaking down the I Would Die For You, because we did all the backing track kind of S stuff, like on our Juno.
Yeah.
And you hear what is actually being done, you're like, oh shit, like he's got this like arpeggiated. He's got this arpeggiated synth going the whole time, layered with the synth bass, you know, it's sticking it up, and all of those things that you wouldn't ever hear, like the greats doing, you know, or trying to figure out. Because I'm playing bass, he's playing guitar on War Pigs, and just the bass part on that I think is more difficult than the guitar part in a lot of respects, you know. But
we got to sing too.
Yeah, so like learning it is really eye opening.
It's cool too because you kind of get it inside and you can see what they did.
Yeah, right.
You're like, that's genius.
It is.
Yeah,
I think it's a great segue for it because we're just about to duck out. Probably early January for writing. I mean, we're writing some now, but
you're gonna really sit down and write.
Yeah,
finish the record.
Yeah,
finish writing the record.
Yeah,
we were told to bring 30 songs to the table to have a breakout album, and we all just like I think all of our like hearts sank a little bit when we heard that number. I was like,
I have a job.
Do you guys do any outside writing? Like, do you ever? I'm not offering. I just realized how opportunistic that looks. So, while you're enjoying being on my show. No, but do you ever, like, oh, I like this guy. Like, hey, Aaron, come over and write a song with us. Or whatever.
I don't know that
we've talked about it. Yeah. You know.
It always comes down to time. That's the biggest. Yeah. I think all that stuff always sounds so fun and so exciting. And then by the time we break down our day, I mean, we leave here and we have a 2 meetings with the label and the booking agent. Like, that's our afternoon. Sometimes you're like, I play in a band, right? Like, when is our rehearsal is tonight.
Yeah.
On a Friday night, and then
on July 3rd, when you should be out.
Right.
Drinking Bud Light.
Finding some fireworks for
right.
tomorrow.
Yeah. No, we'd even, I think I would have us rehearse tomorrow.
Yeah.
If the space wasn't locked up and closed.
Yeah, they closed.
Thank God it is, because we need that time, but like.
Yeah.
You don't think, you know, how old are you guys?
28.
Yeah.
He's got to think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, just, it's funny because I'm doing this band with these girls. And they're like, the guitar player is like 60, 50, 58. I mean, you know, I'm 46. And you're trying to get this band together and you're like, God, it's just so hard to get together. And you're like, dude, remember when you were 20? You'd be like, fuck yeah, I'll come stay at your house for a month. You know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
like
yeah.
Everyone has their own life and has things going on, and some people have kids.
Yeah.
So, but you're in a good point now where you don't need, like, I like it when you're in that zone where it doesn't matter if it's 4th of July or Christmas, whatever. You're in the middle of something and you're doing it,
right.
You know? Especially when you got 30 songs to show up with in a few months.
Yeah, I think we have 20 to go.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not bad.
No.
You're a third of the way there.
Yeah.
Do you guys write it all on tour, or you just kind of, sometimes that gets too hard?
We haven't. I would love to.
The idea of doing it was romantic. There. It's just
it does sound
so
romantic.
Much to do.
It's just I don't.
The guys that do that are guys that are in a bus and they're in the back. Right. They just wake up in the thing and they don't have anything to do all day except just like either play video games or write a song.
Right.
But you got to like update your thing for the show. So some guys got to drive. You don't
have
a fourth person.
That's it.
So
that's
there is a lot. I mean, the only tour I ever like wrote a shitload of songs on was I was playing guitar for this band. I didn't really have any responsibility except that, you know, just knowing my guitar parts every night.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, and wearing the right shoes. That's cool. Which I'm not anymore. This summer I've taken on this terrible shoe thing that I switch at night so I don't look like this when I go out. I'll post a photo of this on the How Did I Get Here Facebook page for you guys to understand what I'm talking about in the shoe department. So you guys are playing, this is going to come out on the 10th. So you guys are playing tonight in Corpus, right?
Yes.
Where at?
At the NASA, it's called.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
It's we play the NASA this time, and then I think we're due back in the fall at House of Rock, which is a great place.
Yeah, I've heard that is a good place.
So, but NASA's a really cool outdoor stage.
Kind of has a Scootin feel.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, Scootin.
It's like the Scootin.
Where is it? Is it in that little downtown square?
No. Sort of off the beaten path a little bit.
Really?
Yeah,
it's kind of cool. Like
that. It is cool. It's definitely cool. It's where all the cool kids in Corpus go.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
That's cool. It's
like a BYOB, and yeah, a lot of people go there and hang out and talk about stuff.
So you guys play there often in Corpus?
We've played there a few times.
It's a great place.
Yeah.
It is.
Great people.
Played Record Store Day there, and they have an awesome Disco Round is the name of the store, and just a really good group of people.
Oh, you guys have vinyl, don't you?
We do.
We do, yeah. We
do. It's funny. Everyone from Corpus hates Corpus, and I loved it. I thought it was great.
I love it, too.
It had a great vibe, really laid back. I love that you can get that in Texas, you know, that, like, ocean, beachy feel.
Yeah. Badass Selena statue.
Yeah, right?
We've been there a couple times.
Yeah.
We were there. We played. A Record Store Day fell on
Selena's birthday?
Yeah. Oh, wow. So it was crazy.
Yeah.
They were not there to see us.
And there was a lot of rain.
Yeah.
So much rain.
And so then tomorrow night you play the Empire Garage?
Yes.
What time is that going to happen?
I believe we play at midnight on the main stage.
Whoa.
Yeah. Outdoor, yeah.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
That should be fun. Yeah. Ace Sinclair is also headlining that bill with us.
Okay.
I think Abram Shook's on it, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Abram Shook. Earlier.
Yep.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean that's gonna be a pretty badass thing. This is the second year that they're doing that.
Oh right, it's
Mellowfest.
Numero dos.
Mellowfest. Why is it called Mellowfest? Is people just mellow? Yeah.
That's a good question.
You're wondering that.
Yeah, the whole psych thing.
I don't know.
Are you guys part of the psych scene? Are you part of the new shoegazer revival?
We love reverb.
Yeah. We love it. We love that stuff.
We love that stuff. I don't think
we're a part of it.
I don't think we...
I didn't know what to categorize you guys as.
I think that's just it. I don't think we're kinda...
Our hair's not greasy, you know?
I think we'll end up falling into... My gut tells me that we'll end up falling into some sort of transcendence category where we can just kind of float around and go to a couple different things, which is a cool place to be. I think once you establish it, it'll be awesome because I think we'll probably be doing a little bit of everything. I think maybe early on it's been more difficult because, you're not a specific genre, so you don't really... It's difficult to get on that radar,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
We recorded that record and... People, you know, we put it out. People were like, "Yeah, it's like that kind of post rock," and I don't even know what post rock was. Yeah, I never heard that.
Yeah. Like, like Explosions in the Sky.
Yeah,
which
is good. Beautiful stuff. I mean,
it turns out there was like a whole genre doing that.
have you guys heard Tapes?
No, I haven't. Nope.
Oh, they're cool. Check them out. They're instrumental. Awesome. The Explosions in the Sky thing reminded me of them. Maybe they're post rock.
Yeah,
they are.
They have to be. What's that calling everything post-rock? I'll tell you, I have been describing my music, this is no lie, as French pop since 2004, since that was an option on MySpace.
Oh, wow.
I was like, French pop?
I'll take it.
Shit, that's what I do. Yeah. I don't even know what it is, but that's what I do.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Yeah, I say just get your own name and just apply it to you.
We've been calling it Psych Jungle Rock. or psych jungle pop, whatever.
I mean, there's a popness to the structure of what's going on. I wouldn't consider you a pop band.
Right, right.
But
Yeah,
it's great music. You guys really have something really good going on. Very special.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank
you. Yeah, you should be proud. Got to finish those 20 songs.
We're getting there.
Or I'm just going to get bored. Because I'm gonna need some. Are you guys gonna put out another single or anything in between now and then?
We are.
Okay. I think we might do one more. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe two.
Yeah. And everything. People can just go and find your stuff at the migrant or just migrantkids.com, not the migrant kids.
Right.
And then there's a Bandcamp link on there. You guys are on iTunes. You're also on the Spotify.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Get out there and get involved. If you like these guys, I like them, and I got involved.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
And if you really like them, you'd have them over to your house.
Yeah. And if we really like you, we'll have you over to our house.
Yeah.
We do that.
We do family dinners. It's a cool little thing.
Oh, no shit?
I think Holiday Mountain is coming over next week, so they'll be dining with us, and it's nice.
We just talk and drink and eat.
Yeah, you know, you need...
That sounds amazing.
You know how it is. You need... Yeah. Even like this is therapeutic, because you don't... A lot of people don't get... what you're going through. I think they see the cool stuff.
Yeah.
They see the... I told my one friend from college, I was like, you know, half of that is as cool as it looks, but the other half, it's just not.
No.
It's not... You don't get to see a lot of the, like, you know... I love Brian. He's like family, but I mean, like, it sucks sharing a bed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it just does. It's just... You, and it's nothing to do with him. It's just... It would be nice to have your own space, I think, on
you
tour.
You guys share a bed?
We do. He and I do, yeah.
Yeah.
On the road.
It's a race to see who falls asleep quicker.
Not in general.
It's like, this could add to a whole new, like,
at home.
And not even in a sexual way, just the fact that you have to share
it would be complete logistic. Like, we went in halfsies on a bed.
It loops back to Brian's girlfriend question. Yeah. Hey, Serna.
Yeah. Miguel and I went in on a bed together, Tempur-Pedic, so.
It's a twin.
She'll never stay over at my house for some reason. She's not looking for a DP on this
bed. Yeah.
I forgot what I was going to say. I was going to say something.
You can just air the last, like, 10 seconds.
Love wins.
Love wins.
Love wins. Well, thank you guys for coming. Is there anything that I'm missing? Is there anything you want to tell the people? Tonight, if you are in Corpus, you can see them tonight, July 10th at NASA.
Mm-hmm.
This is a weird... I mean, is it sanctioned by NASA?
Does it look like
the inside of...
You know what's interesting about it? It's right behind it. It's next to, like, a fenced off... like parking area, and then you go, it is just the back of, like, what looks like a bar, the backstage of bar, and you go in there and it's super cool. It's just
nice
and open stage. Just think like Scootin.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
and it's just like the outdoors of Scootin. Yeah, pretty much.
BYOB, they're really cool.
Yeah, that's kick-ass.
Yeah, people bring lawn chairs, and I mean, it is really
it's awesome.
It's neat.
Yeah.
And I sometimes gonna say, but I forgot.
Oh, I no, it happened to you too. I passed
it
on.
It did.
And then tonight you guys will be in Austin, Texas at Mellow Fest at the Empire Garage, midnight on the main stage.
Yes. July 11th, right?
July 11th.
Yeah.
Is that what I said?
Yeah.
You said tonight.
Tonight. Tomorrow night, July 11th.
Tomorrow night, July 11th.
That's what I meant to say.
Mellow Fest.
What's wrong with me? I hope you guys have a great great shows. Maybe I'll make it on the 11th. I'm not playing, but I have to have something done to my face. It's on a tooth.
Oh, man.
And then I'm such a pussy that I got a sub to cover my gigs. I don't know if I'm going to be hurting. I'm not sure. Not sure what this entails. There might be pain. And I don't want to sing, but I might go see you guys.
Yeah, because
awesome. I would really like to see you live and see what it's like. Experience
Please
it all. There's a wealth of video stuff. You guys are on some really nice looking and sounding shows that are available on the internet. You can find it all on YouTube. And also, I do once again highly suggest that you watch the City Hall performance and Miguel's speech there.
Thank you so much, guys,
for coming, man.
Appreciate Thanks
it.
A lot.
Thanks for having me.
Don't say love. 'Cause I just
Migrant Kids. Oh, yeah, I love them, man. I love music like this, man. It's amazing. There should be more music like this everywhere in my house. There should be a band set up in every corner playing music that I want to hear at all hours of the day. And I point to the band when I want them to start. It would be like that Jules Holland show. You guys ever watch that Jules Holland show? I would just have bands set up all around my house, and there would be different kinds of bands. One would be Migrant Kids. Another one would be, you know, other bands. I can't think of any right now. But all of them, I would point to them, and I would say, like, hey, you start. Go! And then they'd play for a while. And then I'd have my go-to-sleep band, and I'd point to them. Hey, man, bellow me out. It's time for me to sleep. That's in my fantasy world. Hey, guys, check out Migrant Kids at migrantkids.com. They're playing tonight, Friday, July 10th in Corpus Christi. Look that up. They're playing tomorrow night, July 11th in Austin, Texas at Mellow Fest at the Empire Garage and Control Room, which is going to be really big. I saw it written on the outside of there. It said Mellow Fest this weekend. I don't even know what that means. It's just a bunch of people being mellow. Are there beanbags at Mellow Fest? That's my question. Hey, guys, thank you so much for listening to the show. You can get involved with Migrant Kids at migrantkids.com. You can listen to that song that you just heard, and you heard at the top of the podcast. It's a song called Thread, which was produced by the Bright Light Social Hour. Great, great band. They do a great job producing. And keep up with Migrant Kids at migrantkids.com. And while you're on the internet looking up Migrant Kids stuff, you can like our Facebook page. You can also subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can subscribe to it on Stitcher. You can do all kinds of stuff. And you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Johnny Gowdy. Always feel free to say hi. I'd love to hear from you guys at all times. You can write to us on the Facebook page, or you can post comments on there. If you like a show, if you don't like a show, whatever the hell, just let me know what's going on with you, okay? Have a great weekend. Here's some more music from Migrant Kids. Let's get down.
In my head, crack through my skull.